Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, the focus of the message today is on Isaiah chapter 40. We'll come back to these words several times during this course of the message. Verse 1, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." So what does it for you? For most people, there are two or three things that help you relax. You know, blow off some steam, kind of release the anxiety, a little cleansing breath maybe, something as simple as that, or maybe it's after a hard workout, hitting the whirlpool, kind of relax the muscles and just take a break. Maybe it's something like grabbing a good book and a cup of tea and sitting in front of the fireplace. For me, it's probably something a little more like this. Woods, water, and quite frankly, the fishing pole is optional. And clearly the fish have been too. So, but a chance to just sort of relax. Take a deep breath. Get past it all. But let me ask you, if the Lord came up to you today and started to, you know, work those tense muscles in your shoulders, what would he be releasing? Would it be some anxiety? Would there be some achiness? Maybe some guilt or shame even? Something that's just keeping you tensed up and caught up? Or if God was doing that this morning and working your shoulders, would you be afraid that he might start to creep up from those shoulders a little bit north and do one of those? And he'd have every right to, wouldn't he? Because of who we are and what we've done. But God doesn't come to us with whirlpools or cups of tea. He comes to us with his word. Instead of fingers on your shoulder, he speaks to you, and it enters through your mind, and it floods your heart with words of comfort. And his mere words, they release every concern, every worry, simply by what he tells you. These are words of comfort for the people of God. Words that relax your mind, that ease your anxieties, that remove your stress and guilt. And so God says to speak. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem in these words and tell her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In other words, double the grace, more than we need for all of our sins. And as we consider these words of comfort here this morning, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So I have to ask, how much stress, how much anxiety, how much guilt do these words make you feel? Be perfect as I, the Lord your God, am perfect. Truth is that our chances are astronomically better to find the perfect gift for everyone on our Christmas list than we have of standing perfect before our holy and righteous God. In fact, the Bible tells us that already at conception we're sinful, so perfection lost, done, out the window. Gone. And the thing is that as we continue to live our lives, we continue to sin and break God's commands every day. So how much fuming anger do you think God has for those of us who continue to stomp all over his word, ignore his promises, and disobey what he commands? All of a sudden, that creeping up from the shoulders to the neck doesn't seem so far-fetched, does it? But the good news is that God does not want to do that. He comes to us with these words of comfort. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," by this command from God to be perfect or perish. And so Jesus offers us this rest. He says, "Take on you this heavy load." No, it's not heavy, it's light. because Jesus is born at four, as his perfection becomes our perfection. And the more we hear it, the more comforted we are, and you just kind of feel the anxiety and the stress and the guilt all lift, right? It's a cleansing breath that Jesus gives us. A deep in and out that allows us to just let it all float away, right? Because Jesus has taken care of it. And the thing is that there's more, too, that he talks about. Seen the new apartment slash building complex that's going in down on Rice Street here, just north of 694. You remember what was there? It had the old strip mall, and there were trees and some houses. And then they came, didn't they? And just leveled everything. Laser level flat. Now, they left some of the nice trees, but for the most part, everything else was just gone. It was interesting to come by almost every day and see a little bit more taken down, a little bit more taken away, and the ground prepared, the soil ready, and then it was just flat. And then they started digging, and then they started building up, and all of it to see this building rise up out of the ground and the grade set up so that the water gently washes away, and of course lots of asphalt for all the traffic that's going to be coming in and out of that complex. Now Jesus is coming. And the Bible talks about it in terms of preparing the way for Jesus, preparing a highway, a way for him to come, not just into this world, but right into our very hearts, where everything needs to be laser level flat. The mountains taken away, the valleys filled in, and that's exactly what he does. But think of it in what it took to prepare a pathway like that in your heart and mine. When you look at that building, I think it's called the McMillan, and everything that they did to tear down and to build up, to get it to be where it's at today and where it's meant to be in a couple of months, open and useful. And then you think of your own heart. Look at the change needed to welcome the king, the work required to prepare the way. What is sinful is sent away. What's rebellious is removed. Despair is filled in. Arrogance is eliminated. And hope built up to receive our king. And what a massive undertaking it was. But God did it. He overhauled us. He filled in the valleys, and he leveled the hills. Even that very attitude of repentance that John the Baptizer talked about in our hearts, even that comes from him. It's not from us. He sends his Spirit into us to help us to recognize our own sinfulness and lay that sin confidently before our King who comes to save us. And what God has done, he reveals for the world. It says, the glory of the Lord has been revealed, and all mankind together has seen it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Again, words of comfort for God's people, comfort for you and me. And we need it in this age in which we live, in these lives of falling short and failing again and again that we live. We need something to take hold of, something that will last, because we won't. As Isaiah describes, all men are like grass and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Look outside today. It's hard to believe that less than a week ago you could still see your lawns. But I'm guessing that you weren't out there getting in one last quick mow last Monday before the snow hit. Maybe you did it to pick up some leaves, but you certainly weren't out there mowing because, quite frankly, your grass didn't look like that. It was dead. It was brown. It had stopped growing. It had gone dormant. Well, not that long ago, but long enough that you didn't need to mow it anymore. I think the last time I mowed was the second week in November. And then it's just done. It's not technically dead, I guess it's dormant, but the fact remains that unless the sunshine and the heat comes back, that grass is going to be done. That's it. It just doesn't last. In the space of months, it is gone and done. But what a picture of you and me that Isaiah paints here. Grass that grows up and withers dies. As Ezekiel puts it, the soul who sins is the one who will die. And the only thing that's going to make us last beyond death is that word of the Lord. The only thing that will never perish, spoil, or fade is the promise of God. As Isaiah put it, the word of our God stands forever. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, and afterwards they tried to make him their bread king, because they said, we'll never go hungry again. And so Jesus dispersed the crowd, sent the disciples in the boat. As they were going across the lake, the storm came up. Jesus walked on the water out to them, and then he got in the boat, and they went from there to the north side there of Capernaum, the city there. And the crowds, while they kind of took no for a temporary answer, they followed him, and they showed up in Capernaum again, and Jesus again had to say, no, I'm not bread for your body, I'm bread for your soul. And that was hard for them to take. And so Jesus made it perfectly clear, this is his promise, whoever believes in me has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That means that we're going to get past death. We may be grass, and we may be dying, but we will still live forever. And that's his promise. That's his word. And it stands forever. Again, comfort to the people of God. No wonder Christians are told to go tell it on the mountain, to get up on a high hill and shout it out. Here is your God. This is who our God is. He loves us and he comforts us. He gives us life, not just now, but life in eternity. This is our God, and he is grand, and he is powerful, and he is almighty, and he is ruler of the universe, and yet he loves you so much that he wants to put a pathway right into your heart. So close and intimate he wants to be with you that he wants to be right here inside of you to make sure that you know that you are his and that he visits with you constantly. Oh, he could visit on us all the punishment and all the things that we truly deserve, but he doesn't. He loves us so much that he wants to be in your heart, to share with you that pardon and peace, to share with you eternal life and eternal bliss. Just look at him more closely, and you'll see that the little lambs that Isaiah describes, the little lambs that he gathers in his arms and carries close to his heart and gently leads, they're not just the infants and the toddlers. They're the big little kids like you and me too. Are you in need of constant attention? Are you young and in need of constant attention? Are you aging and need special care? Are you hurting and need healing, injured and need treatment, weak and needing strengthening? Are you anxious and need peace, confused? And need guidance? Are you doubtful and need confidence? Are you guilty and need pardoned? Are you ashamed and need assurance? Are you desperate and need the divine? Jesus knows you by name. He knows your heart. He knows what you need. And the thing is that you don't have to wait for him in a waiting room until he finally has time for you. He's not hurrying to get on to the next person because he resides right here. He is always with you. His word is always present. His sacraments are always there to nourish and strengthen. This is our God. Whatever you need, he has you covered because, as Peter said, he cares for you. Words of comfort for the people of God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Twice for emphasis. Did you catch that? He says comfort twice, and then later on he says double. That's intentional. That God gives us far more than we could ask or imagine. He gives us everything we need and then some. The hard, impossible work of having to be perfect, Jesus ended that for us by being perfect. the rough places made plain, the rugged mountains and valleys made low, our sinful hearts loved and leveled by Jesus himself. Let those words of comfort be the massaging fingers or the soothing hot tub or the good book and cup of tea that relaxes your soul. Let your comfort be this, that your Savior knows who you are and calls you by name in the waters of holy baptism. Let this be your comfort, that your Savior has given his body broken for you and his blood shed for you, for that assurance of the forgiveness of sins and the celebration of your place in heaven through his holy supper. Let these words of comfort be that the eternal blessings and the eternal love of the eternal God are yours in his eternal promise. Because this is the word of our God, word of comfort, and it stands forever. Amen.